Well, most of us have a spice rack with lots of different choices in it, but if you're not a gourmet chef, you might not know which herbs and spices pair the best with different meats and veggies. And what about the ones you see sold fresh at the store? Are they really that much better than your cupboard's dry goods? Now we'll look at how to use spices and where to splurge to get the best results. We'll also see what herbs can survive and thrive in your own Kansas or Missouri backyard. With us is Barbara Fetchenhire. She's garden interpreter for the Heartland Harvest Garden out at Powell Gardens. After working in horticulture positions throughout the gardens for almost 20 years, she was named as the garden interpreter for the Heartland Harvest Garden, the nation's largest edible landscape. She's also a master gardener with the Master Gardeners of Johnson County. And Barb, nice to have you. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Nice to be here with you.
Well, I'm going to confess my ignorance up front, Barb. I'm neither a gardener nor a cook, so let's start at the beginning. What's the difference between a spice and an herb?
That's a great question. A lot of people ask that out here at the garden.
Oh, good.
A spice and herb. There is a difference. An herb is usually the leaves, typically the leaves of a plant that makes it an herb that we use. And spices are generally bark, maybe the root. Think of horseradish is considered a spice because it's a root. And so generally they're categorized like that. Whether it's a leaf, it's typically an herb, or whether it falls into another category like a root, it would be considered a spice, or a bark.
So can a single plant then end up supplying both an herb and a spice?
That's a great question. Yes, some of them can, that you can have some that you can actually use the leaves and it's considered an herb, and then take the root off of it, and it could be kind of a spice. You caught me off guard. I can't think of one right off my hand, but there are several that fall into that category.
Yeah, I know, and for those who want to grow their own, Barb, what are some good choices to start with that will, you know, have the best chance of survival with my less than green thumb?
Herbs are generally a really easy plant to grow here in the Kansas City area. You know, we all think of basils maybe and oregano, marjoram, thyme. Those are all really easy herbs that you can grow in your landscape, and not only in your garden, but they're very easy to grow in pot containers if you live in an apartment or a place that you can't put a garden in, maybe just have a patio. So there really is a world of herbs. They're not really fussy that you can grow here.
Is the distinction in terms of growing a fresh herb yourself, is it the same distinction between buying a store-bought tomato and growing a tomato in your backyard and it tastes so much better?
Huge, huge difference. When you get a field-grown herb, something that you grow yourself or was grown outside, it has larger, more fragrant, hardier leaves because they're grown in that full sun. And they have a real lustrous deep green leaves because they're grown in sun. And they have those nice nighttime cool temperatures that give you the crispness and the sweetness of the herb. Versus if you were to get one out of a greenhouse, it doesn't have those same growing conditions, so it's a little different. And then fresh herbs are way better than the ones that are dried in the store, because you have those essential oils are fresh and locked into those green herbs, where they may have already started dissipating out of the ones that are already dried in the store. So by all means, if you have the opportunity to get them fresh or to grow them fresh, that's the way to go with herbs and spices.
You know, what herbs and spices are native to the Midwest?
You know, a lot of herbs we've cultivated in our culture. We've cultivated so many herbs that we want them to be a little bit spicier. For instance, basils. There's a plethora of basils out there that have all been hybridized for, you know, to get bigger blooms, to get better taste, to get more essential oils. A lot of those spices are native, and our herbs are native to certain parts of the world, and we've just cultivated them for additional value, maybe more essential herbs. And so a lot of these are native, specifically to Missouri, none that I'm familiar with, because most of our herbs have traveled across the oceans from different cultures into ours, as well as lots of them have traveled up from South America into the United States, and we just have so many now that you think that they may be native, but a lot of them didn't originate here.
Well, let's get our listeners involved here. We have a great expert with us today. If you have a question about herbs and spices, how to grow them, or what have you, Barbara Fetchenhire is joining us. She's garden interpreter for the Heartland Harvest Garden out at Powell Gardens. Our number here, 816-235-2888. Again, 816-235-2888. Barb, do we owe the use of some spices today to what immigrants brought with them to, you know, recreate dishes from their homelands?
Oh, yes, most definitely. Some herbs and spices go back for thousands of years, been used in different cultures. You know, for instance, there's a basil called holy basil. That is, it's a revered plant in the Hindu region of the world, and it's considered a sacred basil, and it definitely started over in that region of the world and made its way across the ocean and traveled with people as they discovered new parts of the world. So there's one that's really made a long journey. You know, we think of some of the herbs. Most people know the oreganos, the rosemaries, but there's some of those like popolo. We grow a variety, an herb called popolo here, and it's originally from South America, and it's related almost to the cilantro. You know, it has that unusual, we like to say exotic flavor, because it has a strong flavor. It's called summer cilantro, Bolivian coriander, and it really takes an acquired taste because it's strong, but it's one that's traveled from South America and is used extensively in the Mexican culture in a lot of the dishes that they put together. But we have it here. We have it in the garden. We let people enjoy it, give samples of it, and so herbs have really made their way around the world, and people of different cultures are enjoying herbs that came from cultures different than their own.
You know, what's your favorite herb?
My personal favorite is rosemary. I love the flavor of rosemary, and it goes so well with so many dishes. It is a mellow and a warm flavor that goes good with chickens, as well as we make popsicles out here at the garden, and we put a lot of herb flavors within our popsicles, and I use rosemary in some of our popsicles just because it has a Mediterranean herb, and it just has a wonderful flavor, and so that's my particular
favorite.
That's
neat.
It's hard to pick one because I do like so many of them.
Yeah. Let's go to some phone calls, 816-235-2888. Zvini from Overland Park, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. Thanks for calling.
All right. I have a question regarding holy basil.
Yes.
Holy basil.
Mm-hmm. Holy basil, I just was wondering, like, you know, is holy basil good for Kansas City weather to grow it indoors or outdoors, or what type of precautions do we need to take?
Precautions for holy basil, it's like any of the basils, it's relatively, I say relatively easy, and sometimes I have to remember that. Just because it may be easy for me with a green thumb, it may not be easy for somebody else. But it truly is what we call, or I like to call, one of those walk-away basils, because you can put it in the ground and walk away and it grows. It just needs regular, it doesn't need any real specific care. It just needs regular garden soil. You know, make sure that you give it plenty of moisture during its growing season. It's going to need some of that. And, you know, feel free to clip off some of those leaves and harvest some of those leaves and use them during its growing season. One precaution about basil, though, and with many of the herbs, that once they flower, or once they go into flower, a lot of their energy is put into those flowers, and so some of those essential oils may not be as strong in those leaves as they were previously. So try to use and harvest your holy basil before it flowers. Otherwise, continue trimming off those bloom heads so you'll get those fresh leaves growing on it.
Okay, that's very, very interesting and useful.
Thanks, Vinny, for the call. I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Let's go to Leslie from Kansas City, Missouri. Leslie, you're on Up to Date. We're talking about herbs and spices. Good morning.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm growing dill, and I'm having a problem with pests on the dill. I believe they may be aphids. And I'm just wondering about how you would treat, especially since they're a food item, how you might get rid of the aphids.
Pests on the basil, Barb, what do you think?
No, she said dill. I'm a dill.
On the dill. So, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's
so
right. The dill.
Dill. Because it is a spring.
Dill basil. Yeah.
Yeah, it is a spring herb. It's very unusual that you have aphids, because typically you'll see a lot of black swallowtail larvae on dill, which we don't consider pests at all. Those are going to turn into butterflies, so we let them eat. But if you do have, and you have identified those as being aphids, an easy way to get rid of aphids is knock them down with a shot of water. We are an organic garden out here at Powell Gardens in the Heartland Harvest Garden, and we have found many ways to take care of insects without having to use hazardous chemicals. And the easy way to knock down aphids is to shoot them with some water.
Don't they come back, though, after you shoot them with the water? Mine are in a pot, so if I shoot them with water, they'll just go into the soil in the pot.
Hmm.
You know, if you direct your spray of water off the plant, especially if it's in a pot, you can really control those aphids a lot better. If you can shoot them off and out of your pot, typically, because aphids are so soft-bodied, that shot of water is going to do some damage to them and probably kill them, that they will not come back. But if that doesn't seem to be working for you, if you have ladybugs and you've seen ladybugs, put them there on your plants and let them enjoy the feast, because ladybugs will absolutely eat their weight in aphids.
Hmm. Leslie, good luck with it. Yeah.
Thank you.
Hey, how much space are we talking about here for a decent, you know, a basic herb garden, Barb?
Well, a basic herb garden depends on your plans of a basic herb garden. Mine might be 50 herbs. Yours might only be 3 herbs. So tend to tell people, if they've never herbed garden before, just pick out a few herbs that they are familiar with, or they know how to use them, and maybe grow them. Maybe start out with 5 and start out with those easy, no problem herbs like basil, thyme, rosemary, which is my favorite, maybe parsley, because that's an easy one, sage.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe put a few in to start with and get those guys going and use them through the season. And maybe you want to expand it after that and make it a little bit bigger. But try to pick an herb, you know, a very common herb that you know you'll use, and ones that are less maintenance than some of the others. Like, I would tell people to shy away from lavender, because lavender, it takes a little bit more work. It needs a drier soil. It doesn't like to have wet feet. And so I would stay away from a lavender, especially if you're mixing in with other herbs that do require some moisture. So
yeah, Barbara,
start out small, and then, you know, don't be overwhelmed the first year with a herb garden. Just put in a few that are going to work for you, and then you can build it from there.
Barb Fetchenhire with the Heartland Harvest Garden out at Powell Gardens is our guest. Let's move from the garden into the kitchen, Barb. You know, I've grown these plants. Now, how do I use them? And maybe the question is, are herbs and spices best used fresh or dry?
You know, I use them both ways. I love to use them fresh as they're growing, because I mean, there's just a world of difference between a fresh herb and a dried herb. But at the end of the season, you know, I grow a lot of herbs here at the garden. I grow a lot of herbs at home. And you can't possibly use everything you grow. And so there's always going to be extras that you have. So I always suggest to use them fresh. And you can put them in everything. You can put them in everything you have. Think about when you're doing salad dressings. We make salad dressings here at the garden, and when we do fresh salad dressings, we use a lot of fresh herbs in that. We also do marinades. If you're going to, especially in the summertime, a lot of people do marinades for their meat. And so we do a fresh herb marinade. You mix that into an oil vinegar base, and you put that on your meats, and it gives you a great herbal flavor when you grill out your steak. At the end of the season, when you have a lot of basil left over, or you have a lot of rosemary, I generally take those sprigs and I will dry them, and I will use them in, mixes. If I'm going to make a mix like an Herbes de Provence, which is a blend of herbs, so you can enjoy them all winter, but all summer long you should be enjoying those nice, fresh herbs.
You know,
and not just in marinades, Steve. You know, think about, we use a lot of cold drinks. We do a lavender lemonade. So we make a lemonade, we put some lavender in there. Or you could put a cucumber basil drink. So there's lots of ways to incorporate your herbs into everyday eating.
You know, I've always wondered this, Barb, why are some spices so expensive? I'm thinking of like saffron, for example.
Oh, boy, saffron's a great one, and we grow that saffron here. And that's a crocus that blooms in the late fall. And the way to harvest that, that spice, it's considered a spice because of what you harvest on it. The little tiny saffron threads are the anthers of the plants, and that's where the pollen is on that crocus. And there's three of those little tiny pieces of saffron threads on each crocus. And so you have to hand pick those with tweezers. And I've done this out here at the garden. We have maybe 300 bulbs in it, and it's very time consuming to get it. And the crocus don't last but maybe a day or two full open. And so you're racing against Mother Nature, and you're continually going out and harvesting those saffron threads. So I have acquired a new appreciation for anybody that harvests saffron, especially because if you've never seen it grow or had to harvest it, if you have seen it, then you'd realize why it's so expensive, because it takes a lot of those little threads to make any amount at all. But if you've used saffron, and that's one of the spices I love to use, it is very strong in flavor. One thread is very strong in flavor, and I usually put it in rice. When I'm preparing rice, I'll put a thread or two into rice, and it flavors two or three cups of rice just with one little thread. So it's a very potent spice at the same time.
Yeah, Barb, we've got about a minute left, so let's take a look at some simple pairings, you know, of common herbs and what they work best with. How about basil?
You know, basil, the go-to with basil is always making a pesto with it.
Yeah,
and
right.
Then once you make a pesto, you can use a pesto over fish, over meat, with noodles. You can use it. Oh, I put it on pizza last night. I made it as the base. Instead of using the spaghetti, instead of using a tomato sauce, use a pesto paste and then add your ingredients from there. So that's my go-to with basil.
How about sage?
Sage I like to pair that with carrots. When I roast the carrot, I will top it off with some fresh sage, and I will also roast a little bit sage in there so it gets a little crunchy. So you have a little crunch of that sage when you have eat your carrots.
How about thyme?
I love thyme. I use it quite often, and I pair it with a lot of salad dressings, but I also use it when I do a lot of fresh butter or, you know, melt down some butter and put thyme in it because it has a nice warm flavor to it.
And how about chives? And I think I know that one because baked potatoes, right?
Oh, my gosh. I love chives with potatoes.
Yeah.
That's always a go-to. But anything, and you know, on chives, what's really cool, Steve, is you can eat the chive blossom. A lot of people just cut the leaves and eat them. But when that chive blooms, the blossoms, each little floweret in that blossom gives you a great onion punch. And so don't forget to use that blossom also. It's very edible on that chive.
Well, Barb Fetchenhire is with the Heartland Harvest Garden out of Powell Gardens, where tomorrow they'll be hosting a buzz celebration of pollinators in the garden starting at 9 a.m. And, Barb, you've been great. Thanks so much for taking some time.
You bet. Thank you very much for having me, Steve.
You bet, Barb. Have a good weekend.
All right.